This is the All Things Nerd Podcast, Season 3, Episode 43. On tonight's show, we talk about Benioff and Weiss out on Star Wars. We talk about the Game of Thrones prequel. We talk about some Hollywood news. And we do some reactions to Jumanji and the Witcher trailer. So sit back, enjoy the show, drop a comment, leave us a 5-star review, and here's the intro. Hello to all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is Mess 5150 back with another All Things Nerd podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 43. We have two more episodes after this left before we take a break and a hiatus and come back for Season 4. So thank you guys for joining us, at least for these next 3 weeks. We are here to talk about what goes on in the headlines in All Things Nerd, Geek, and Pop Culture with a comedic twist. And we do it here live on Twitch, twitch.tv/MaliceCorp, every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so that you, the viewing audience, the listening audience, can actually come and partake and be a part of the interactive show and give us your thoughts on the same stuff that we're talking about, because sometimes you guys are a lot more funnier than we are, and we want to take the credit for your laughs that you're making. So
I'll take the credit.
So with that, what we always like to start this show out with is what we call Get Your Geek On. Ain't nobody got time for that. So Getting Your Geek On is how you get to know the people here on the cast, what things they've been doing for the last week to tickle their nerd fancy, to waste their time, to make sure that they have something so they're not just sitting twiddling their thumbs, or something that they came across that you should stay far, far, far away from, because not everybody has all the time in the world to be able to watch, read, play, do everything out there, unless you're getting paid to do that, which if you are, I am more than willing to come and work that job as well. So,
yeah, nice work if you can get it.
Yeah,
exactly. You got to hold a sign up on the corner.
Yeah, exactly. I am S5150, your host on this show. My geek out is still the CW binge watch of the Arrowverse. I am almost halfway through last season's events, and two issues I have with the last season's Flash. I really, 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 really hate when the actor that is the jock from American Pie tries to be a bad guy or anything serious, because he is one of the worst actors in that.
He is terrible.
He is terrible. I've seen him in other stuff trying to be that way. Yes, Oz.
Yeah, Oz.
He's
the Eagleman. I have Eagleman. So
he played Cicada last season.
His performance out. I don't remember which one you're talking about.
Oh, it's bad. And the worst was I just did. Yeah, he's Cicada.
Oh, Cicada?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's the guy. Really? Oh man. All right.
Yeah, Oz Striker.
We are definitely the All Things Nerd Geek podcast, and we don't.
He was definitely better in The Flash, but you're right, he wasn't the best.
In The Flash.
Yeah, he's got the worst was. The episode showing when he got stabbed and got the powers, and he grabs the dagger and he looks at the screen. He's supposed to look like menacing, but he's like wiggling his eyes to do his menacing look. And I'm just like, oh, this is so bad.
Yeah, so, I just wanted him to sing a shitty cover of a James Taylor song right there.
So that's been bugging the heck out of me. There was another thing that bugged me about it, and now I can't remember because I'm so just upset about that.
Wait until you get to the premiere episode of this season of The Flash. They actually use the Queen song from the movie. It's fantastic.
Nice. I'll hopefully be there soon.
I need a clip on it too.
Yeah. The other thing that I was geeking out on today, as these people know, was My Chemical Romance announced a reunion show. One show. One of the bands that people have been waiting forever to reunite announces one show. And is it in a stadium? No, it's at the Shrine, which is decent size, but not massive enough for a band of this size that people have been waiting for forever. So tickets sold out very quickly. We didn't know they sold out. So as I was sitting there waiting to buy tickets, I was still in line with a little man moving. It was Hotel Apocalypse for Comic-Con all over again. Just the anxiety of waiting to get in. And I finally get in, and it's like, tickets are not available. And then I looked at my other two spots that were waiting in line, and they were still waiting to get in. So, that's been my geek out. So, yeah, let's talk about who else is here on the show to let us know what they've been geeking out on. IC Zorro joins us on the cast. How are you, sir? And what have you been geeking out on?
Fantastic. I have been, let's see here. I watched yesterday on Netflix, I watched Living With Yourself, the Paul Rudd show. Holy crap, that was good.
Did you binge now all the episodes?
The Irish girl that plays his wife.
I'm three episodes in on that, and I'm loving it so far.
It's so good. It's not like, you know, cornball comedy. It's really well written, and it's just kind of fun to watch. I have made it up to Towers of Midnight in my reread of Wheel of Time series.
Nice.
Yeah, I finally finished, you know, the dull, slow books in the middle. And I found a new podcast that I've been listening to called This Film is Lit. It's a married couple. She's got an English degree and he's got a film degree. So they talk about books that have been made into movies and, you know, go through what was done better in the books, what was done better in the movies, and just kind of make the determination end of whether they preferred the book or the movie. And there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of material. I think they've got 16 episodes dealing with Harry Potter. So
nice.
Should be interesting once you get there.
Luckily, I just subscribe to them so I can pull their shows up later.
There we go. And you just heard
this
him.
This film is lit. It's fantastic.
Also joining the cast, we have a bearded master. How are you, and what have you been geeking out on?
I am fantastic. To be honest with you, it's been a busy week. Midterms, school, work, Halloween yesterday. So I went to Hollywood Horror Nights again last night, which wasn't packed, surprisingly. Got to do actually everything but one maze and even the rides. So
which
that was
maze
pretty awesome.
Did you get to?
The only one I didn't do was Us, and that's because we put it off to the end. And then by the time I got to, like, yeah, we're good without that one. Yeah. But I, you know, this is the second time I went this year, and this time I got to do a lot more than last time, so it was actually pretty awesome. Wrestling, had a lot of wrestling this week, a lot of big things going on. So that's obviously where I come from, the background of wrestling. That's kind of where I geek out on. But also, it's Halloween, so I always do series threads throughout the whole month of October. So this last week was Saw. That's over the years, that's become my favorite franchise, just because of the writing of that series is just phenomenal. I think
came back. So the first three were fantastic. What? Then like episode four and or Saw like four and five were, and then
yeah, but the
and then Jigsaw was actually pretty good.
And that they keep connecting them, and there's always the connection to the beginning of what's going on in these movies. That's what I like best. It's not just a new movie and just shooting in the dark. So I've been watching that. But then the one thing I will say, the one movie that I did watch this week is another Netflix also. Dolomite, or My Name is Dolomite.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy's new Netflix show. It's fantastic. If you love raw Eddie Murphy or 80s 90s Eddie Murphy, this is the show to watch. And it's
a movie.
It's a movie. Yeah, I you know, it's a movie. But it's kind of gives you a little bit of everything. It's not just a raunchy, you know, Eddie Murphy, but there's levels to it. And if you don't know the you know, Dolomite and the movies that came out in the 80s, 70s I believe,
70s.
This leads up to how Dolomite was made, and that's kind of the backstory behind it. And it's a pretty good movie. It's definitely one to get into, like the hard, like, you know, original Eddie Murphy before Come Into America comes out next year.
Yes.
Wesley Snipes is great in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's got a great cast. Keegan-Michael Key, Chris Rock, it's just never ending. There's a bunch of people that just pop in, and it's a great movie to watch.
Awesome. Yeah, the guy that played Titus Andromedon, and My Name is Kimmy Schmidt, he's in there.
Oh, nice. Also joining us on the cast, the other beard is Masonic Vader. How are you, sir? What are you geeking out on? Anything people should stay away from?
I am well, sir, and geeking out. Well, I'm just getting over Halloween. Going from being the dude to being a fat Thor. It was good times. And Which, by the way, I dressed up as Fat Thor at school, and all the students recognized me, which was awesome.
Did you finally get a Mjolnir to come with you? Is that why they recognized you? Oh, actually, they're kids. Hopefully, they haven't seen Lebowski.
Yeah, elementary school kids. If they called you Lebowski, that would have been a problem.
Yes, either that or that's good parenting. And again, my geek on this week. There's a couple things. Dolomite was one of them. I've been waiting for a long time. Looking forward to next month when Eddie Murphy's on Saturday Night Live again. Been watching a Survivor kind of series called Alone. Really cool series where they take people and drop them off in the most barren areas with 10 items and a basic survival kit, and whoever lasts longest out there wins $500,000. So that's fun. Listening to people complain about their sorrows and missing their families. And then I got this sweet shirt. I got a Batman box, and if I back up, it's the Batman 80th T-shirt. What's cool about it, though, is it is in 3D, and we're not talking about the 3D you see nowadays. You got to get the red and blue glasses on, and it's in 3D. It is incredible. I love this shirt. So there's my geek on for this week, sir.
It's so grainy that we can tell it's Batman, and it says three dimension, but then beyond that, that's all we got.
Oh, hold on a sec. Let me zoom in then.
That's even grainy. Oh wait, no, it was clear for a second. Oh no, okay, now I see the lines. I can see the red and blue lines.
Moving slowly. See it? There you go.
I see the red and blue lines. People, go grab your old glasses while looking at that screen. Your old red and blue glasses.
Snapshot it and put it on the. We'll put it on the site. How about that?
There you go. Last but not least, we have a Super Whovian Freak on the cast. And what have you been geeking out on? And how are you doing?
I'm a little tired. It's been a long week, but otherwise fine. You know what? I caught up on Prodigal Son this week. Excellent show. If you guys are not watching it, you should. Michael Sheen's amazing. Tom Payne's amazing. It's a great cast, very witty. It's a nice balance of the dark side of, having a family member that's a serial killer, and it's got surprising amounts of comedy balancing it out. So it's good writing. It's a good cast. It's only 6 episodes in. So, it's not too much of a binge for you to catch up on it. And, so far I'm really liking it. Don't watch Carol's second act. Okay. Not impressed. There's nothing wrong with the show.
What is Carol? Is it Carol Burnett's new show?
It's Patricia Heaton. Okay. And it's, she's like a former school teacher who just up and decided, I don't want to be a school teacher anymore. I'm going to go to medical school as my midlife crisis, and I'm going to be a doctor. And so it's her second phase in life, and she's now this doctor in a hospital, and she's just, an uber goober kind of person. And it's like I said, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with the show. It's got some funny stuff, but it just all feels too scripted and too sitcom-y, and nothing stands out about it. And it's like eating a bowl of tapioca pudding. It's fine, but it's nothing special.
Okay. And the phrase,
just wait till we get to the trailers later, guys.
The phrase of the day is uber goober. What is uber goober? I say it's the film that you find in the back seat of an Uber car that you have no idea what it is.
Yes.
So,
wow, that's the random right there, huh?
She said uber goober. So now I want definitions of what uber goober is.
Yeah, it's candy found in somebody else's car, clearly.
God. I don't think that's
I'm gonna stay out of this one for a moment.
Preferably a bit.
I'll tweet that one out at hashtag uber
just
goober.
Sip on it.
Okay, that's what we've been geeking out on. Now it's time for it's time for our movie trailer reactions with our In a World segment.
In a city, in a town, in a world, they thought they had it all figured out. But there was one thing they didn't plan on.
Damn it.
Anytime there's some great trailers that come out, or really bad ones, we like to talk about them and get some reactions about the trailers and what happened in the trailers. That's why we bring Super Hoovy and Freak on, so she can describe to everybody what happened in the trailer so that you don't have to watch it, even though if it was great, you should have watched it, which is the first film that I think was fantastic, and you should absolutely watch the trailer if you're not going to watch the film, for sure. But Jumanji, The Next Level, final trailer came out, and we got a lot more of what's going on with the story. But
yeah,
I'm not going to tell you about it. Super, what happened in the Jumanji final trailer for The Next Level?
Look, I don't know. How did they get from a desert to a jungle to a desert to a jungle? Like, I don't get it. And someone's a horse now. And all I know is that trailer, I can't believe it, but you're going to make me go see a movie that Nick Jonas is in, and I hate you for it. Because I hate Nick Jonas. I hate the Jonas Brothers.
And that's what happened in the trailer.
Wow. Right. Okay.
The trailer's confusing, man. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I think this is going to be Jack Black's movie.
Oh.
Because he's channeling the spirit of the older guy.
No, it's the rocks.
What are his weaknesses? Yeah. The sun, the sand, and the heat. And they're in the middle of the desert. And it's just like, how is this guy in an action movie?
And now,
I thought Jack Black was the only one to end up being the same character.
No.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's not the same person.
No, that's what happened in the trailer. No, that's what happened in the trailer. Okay, so to give a little bit more detail, clearly we're seeing that they're going to be in different levels because they're in this desert. They're in the jungle. I think they end up in the ice as well.
No, yeah.
Something's wrong with the game system because people are getting put into their wrong bodies, which
remember they smashed it and then they tried to put it back together and he didn't put it together right. So now
I thought this was like a PC version now. I thought he was trying to piece together a PC version of the game.
No, they smashed the original game,
right?
The last movie, and then the one kid tried to put it back together because he misses being in the game because his friends and him have all separated. And it's gone haywire, and it's dragged new people into the game.
Yeah.
That's where I disagree with Super. I think The Rock is going to make this happen because he's possessed by Danny DeVito's soul.
I know.
You're all wrong. You're all wrong. You're all wrong.
Danny DeVito is hilarious.
This movie is going to be taken over by the voice of Danny Glover. He's the man now. He's back. December, we are literally going to see Danny Glover and everything. I'm predicting it now.
It's a Keanu, and it'll be the year of Danny instead of the year of Keanu next year.
They're gonna make Lethal Weapon 6, and it's gonna be Danny Glover and Riggs' son, who's now played by Keanu Reeves.
Oh God, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. There's
no security allowed to be in movies that he doesn't direct anymore.
No, they're at the security cops at the retirement center.
Yeah.
It's a crossover with Paul Blart.
No, I was thinking Jack Black. I was agreeing with Super. I thought Jack Black was going to have the funnest character playing because he's just in the trailer. He's got the funniest moments, and he still plays the character that he was before because she gets back in the body. Which we got a new playable character in the trailer as well, which is Black Stallion, because that's what one of the girls becomes. I think Jumanji The Next Level looks way better than the first one.
I enjoyed the first one too.
I love the first one.
I love it. I watch it at least once a month. I'm not even gonna lie and hide that. I watch it all the damn time.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
It's
The Rock.
It's oh no, I love that scene too where it's like, oh, I think my eyes are a different color, and all of you is a different color. Like, are you not seeing this? You know.
Since we're going to talk about people stealing things or winning things, we got to mention real quick, since yesterday was Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart won Halloween.
Yes.
Kevin Hart.
What did he win?
He dressed up as Fanny Pack Rock.
The picture of Fanny Pack.
It was fantastic.
Yes. I think we're all pretty much in agreement that Jumanji The Next Level, even this trailer, just made it look even better.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The next trailer was we got the final trailer for The Witcher because Witcher's coming out December 20th, I think it is, on Netflix. So we finally got an actual date that it drops and we got the final trailer. A little bit more story development of Geralt. In terms of what the Witcher actually is, what type of character, talking about how he's a mutant made of magic, fighting with himself to not turn bad. We got the full clarification on this trailer that it is 100% based on the books, not on the video game. So, which we already knew, but at least this is the first time the trailer, I think, straight out said based on the books.
Yeah.
What specifically happened in the trailer that was stood out? Super.
That stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited because finally I get to know what Legolas would look like if he was human and butch.
Okay.
That's what Henry Cavill looks like. I didn't know you could possibly make Henry Cavill or Cavill, however you say it, look like Legolas. That's what he looked like in this trailer.
Are we talking butch or putting on like another 40 pounds and steroids to get buff?
Yeah. That's why I said human and butch. All right. So now you have your image in your head of what this guy looks like. I actually thought the trailer looked pretty good. I mean, I like that it didn't give away too much of the plot. Anything. I mean, you got a little bit of the backstory, but, you know, it wasn't like an in-depth scene, kind of like an intro scene or something like that. I thought it just kind of summed up the world. Gave you a few tastes of some of the characters, and I thought overall it was pretty well balanced, and it leaves you wanting to go in wanting more.
Nice. What do you guys think?
I think they should have left some of the action scenes out. It actually kind of discouraged me a little bit to watch it. I liked the first one where it kept it simple. It kept it like, all right, cool. Let us thought it, think about it, and I watched some of those action scenes. And I was turned off a little bit from it. I was not too impressed with him. And if you want to see Legolas on steroids, just take his action figure and put it on a He-Man character. You're good to go.
What about you, Cesaro and Bearded Master?
I don't. I haven't read the books. I haven't played the games. I don't really have a whole lot of opinion about it. And honestly,
that's the honest opinion. You want to watch it. So. Is what the trailer without somebody? Because
yeah, I didn't make me want to go watch it.
Really? I'm not the most well versed on it on the series, but I did watch the trailer and I thought it was actually something intriguing about it that caught my attention. Just so I will watch it, just because it did catch it. Be honest with you, the fact that he's in this movie, I'm actually more inclined to watch this one than I ever was for any Superman movie that he was in.
It's a full series,
Yeah, but I mean, just the fact—I don't know—something about this movie intrigued me more about him acting in it than the Superman movies did.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that they still stayed away from the visual effects with this, like just really, yeah. You know, because there's a lot of visual effects with the creatures and whatnot. So I don't know. I'm intrigued. I think this was the best trailer that they put out so far. So
yeah. And I love that. I love fantasy, that world, you know, that's right up my alley. So, of course, I'm going to at least give it a try.
Nice. All right. That's our trailers for this week. That's our inner world, our reactions and thoughts on the trailers that came out. So let's get into the big chunk of the show, and that is the nerd news. First nerd news. That we're talking about is the story that took over the internet at the beginning of the week. And that was D&D, Benioff and Weiss. David Benioff, D.B. Weiss are out of their Star Wars trilogy that they were working on. And it's been all types of speculation to it, both good and bad. I want to get thoughts and reactions. First off, thoughts and reactions. What do you guys think about them being out of doing... They were supposed to be setting up the new wave of Star Wars after Skywalker.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about before how there was like it seemed to be a really tight schedule that they were going to have to work under with other stuff that they're doing. So, frankly, I'm not all that surprised.
Here's what I thought on it. It's so much as far as scheduling. I don't think, I think that's what they're using as the main story as to why they're not doing it. Because when you talk about scheduling, it comes from their Netflix contract. Mm-hmm. And what they just signed, a $250 million contract with them.
Yeah.
However, that contract was signed in August. Star Wars was announced in February. Mm-hmm. So if you know you're making these movies for Lucasfilms, how the hell do you go sign a $250 million against the money? I get that. But and not be set on the scheduling or working that into the contract knowing you're going to be involved in one of the biggest series and franchises in the history of film, and you're going to do Netflix. So the schedule, I think, is the overcoat. However, I think it honestly is coming down to the backlash from the last season of GOT. It really, I mean, seriously, it's announced in February, and then come May, their star has fizzled out for the not completely, but it's making its way there. And this Netflix contract has revitalized them, and it gave them an out to walk away from Lucasfilms.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are talking about how it might just be not super easy to work at Lucasfilm at this point.
They talked about how they're stepping away from it. They're talking about the all the interviews and working side by side with George and working with Disney and Lucasfilms and how much it's a pleasure, and they've come up because of this. I don't care, man. I guess I have a different way of looking at it. If I'm gonna have an opportunity to make a dent in this amazing franchise, I don't know. It's kind of hard to believe that it's fully because they're scheduling. You make that work if that's the case.
Yeah, I know. What
it should have been worked into
that. It's been a revolving door.
Go ahead,
Netflix.
Super.
I think Netflix put some pressure on them too, because it sounded like Netflix knew what was going on, but didn't really want to wait 3 to 4 years for them to wrap up Star Wars. They want to make stuff now. And personally, I'm not very impressed when they've got one show to focus on. So I wasn't really looking forward to them splitting focus between Netflix and Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So maybe it'll work out better for them, because I think they would be horrible multitaskers. And, I just don't think they can write like that under pressure.
Yeah, we don't.
They couldn't for the last season of Game of Thrones.
Ooh, and they had 2 years. Three seasons. That shit out.
Well, some of the deadline was who originally reported this. They what you were talking about, Bearded Master. Some of the things what they said was, Benioff and Weiss, we love Star Wars. When George Lucas built it, he built us too. Getting to talk about Star Wars with him and the current Star Wars team was the thrill of a lifetime, and we will always be indebted to the saga that changed everything. And then down later, in the article, they bring up what Kathleen Kennedy said, which was, David Benioff and Dan Weiss are incredible storytellers. We hope to include them in the journey forward when they are able to step away from their busy schedule to focus on Star Wars. So, which seemed like a nice thing, but it seemed like a backhand, where it was just like, when they can figure out the time for us, then
yeah. Once they get their shit together. Yeah.
So,
I saw an article, which I think there's probably a little bit more validity to, and I know it's probably hearsay or whatever, but I think there's actually something to it. I think they signed this contract. They got this fat paycheck. They get about 6 months into it. They're kind of getting things going. Netflix offers them money, but I think what really kind of helped out with Netflix, like you said, Netflix gave them the out. I think they freaking were getting more nervous about what they're going to have to actually take on, because it's not just Lucasfilm as a whole. You're now inheriting, and which I've said in several casts before, one of the most hardcore fan bases ever that could either save or kill your career. And that's one of the things I don't like about the Star Wars fan base, part of it at least. And I am part of that Star Wars fan base. I've said it several times before that I love Star Wars. My kid's going to know Star Wars. He knows it a lot already. But there's a part of that Star Wars fan base that just takes it too far. Like, they're practically living on Dagobah every day. And I think they wanted to get away from that because they just got done getting raked over the coals with freaking Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like, you thought Game of Thrones was bad. You thought the Game of Thrones fans treated you bad. Just wait.
Well, and that's something I wanted to ask is what you guys thought. Do you think it's either A, schedule, or B, fear? Because
I think it's cowardice.
Well, that's the thing. If they didn't do a good Star Wars trilogy and it was really bad, and now
then
you're
they would
known
have to retreat back to their giant piles.
Now you're known for not being able to finish with Game of Thrones and pissing off the Game of Thrones fan, and then you're known for not being able to finish with Star Wars and pissing off Star Wars fans. It's gonna be hard to cash in after that.
Yeah,
you are literally going to be the movie version or the geek nerd version of the Supernatural writers that the Supernatural fans can't stand if you don't cash in on the product.
Buck Lemmings?
Yes. Yeah. You will become the Buck Lemmings. See?
Look at it like this. You know, they do Game of Thrones. They get fat contracts sent at them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You screw up with Star Wars, you end up being like Hayden Christensen. Like, you can't get a job anywhere forever and a day. Like, it's taken them 20 years before Star Wars fans has finally said, oh, we missed you, buddy. Come on back. Well,
we got the same kind of nice
comments. Jumper was good.
We got the same kind of nice comments from Kathleen Kennedy when the Han Solo directors were let go. When, you know, so that's the other, what Icy Zero was bringing up, is that it might work with Kathleen.
Apparently the directors that are supposed to be helming these movies are getting a lot of pushback from Kathleen Kennedy and the other studio heads, who are basically like just not allowing them to have the creative control that they want. So,
look, for the most part. Yeah, look at Star Wars like this. How many, when you look at all the movies and stuff like that, what names come up with Star Wars off the tip of your tongue lately, outside of the original? George Lucas and everything. What names JJ. Actually stick? JJ. And then you have Ryan Johnson. You have Ryan Johnson there, but it's when you say Ryan Johnson with Star Wars fans, I think it floats more of the negative.
But he's getting JJ another trilogy, so he's getting another series to work on, so he's stuck around with he follows the, I don't know.
I think it's just too much pressure for him.
I think a theory that I haven't seen anywhere, and this is what jumped in mind first, and I really think there's validity and truth to this. I think it is because of the Netflix deal. I don't think it's because of schedule. I think it is because of pushback. Because as soon as a month ago, Disney pulled all ability for Netflix to advertise on any of their service, any of their networks, anything. Netflix is not allowed to advertise. And I think it was a factor of Netflix going, hey, we have this exclusivity contract with you. You need to come and do your stuff now because of that pushback. I think it was a dynamic between Netflix and Disney fighting.
Well, you got to look at this too, though. Yeah, you can say that, but at the same time, Netflix and Disney, their streaming sites, we're 12 days away, 11 days away from Disney Plus starting. So I don't think that's all why they're pulling advertisement and stuff like that.
But Netflix was allowed to advertise on ABC and ESPN and all that stuff before. They pulled all their advertising off of all the Disney-owned networks, Fox, everything, in this last month.
So guess who's happy about that? Those guys. Because it makes Netflix the scapegoat now. Forget it.
Well, no, nobody else is bringing. Nobody else is saying that. That's my own theory on it. I just think that's something that could be, you know, back in fighting on this type of stuff. That, you know,
those guys are happy. They're happy. They still got their freaking money, but now they don't have to worry about freaking, the guys are going to sit 4 days in line in their freaking Jedi outfits and everything like that, waiting for the movie to start, because those are the guys that you don't want to be pissed at. They're the ones that end your career.
Why you gotta go tell everybody what we're gonna be doing before Star Wars comes out, man?
Hey, it's all good, man. It's all good.
I mean, you do have, basically, at this point, the person that I'm hoping takes over Star Wars and sets it up, because I don't want the Rian Johnson set up. I really don't. Kevin Feige's doing his one movie. He's not taking over the Star Wars universe. He's not helping run the Star Wars universe. He is literally just doing one movie. And they've really pushed that out on the news to make it clear and abundant that he is not taking over Star Wars. I want Favreau. With what he's doing with Mandalorian, what Mandalorian looks like, and he's still there, and he's a Disney guy.
That's who I want.
Let him take over Star Wars. Let him set up the next step of films. I think that's the person.
Oh, I concur with that. Agree, because if it wasn't for him, then we wouldn't be talking about Marvel right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's put his way. Favreau's been doing everything for Disney, MCU, Disney animated to live action. I mean, and his movies are a hit. I mean, it's ridiculous of what that man does. And he's fantastic. He'd be beyond perfect for that to move it forward.
Yeah. So that's my thought. Moving on to the next story, talking about another thing with Weiss and Benioff, because they've left it. They're far behind. They're not part of it. The Game of Thrones prequels. Lots of news came out with those this week. Well, first off, the one that had a cast no longer has a cast because that one got axed. It was done away with. So Naomi Watts, not going to be in a Game of Thrones series.
Thank God.
That was hilarious that they started it off with the week with some news about that. And then like 4 days later, my bad. Sorry. We're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was. Like, I was like, I saw that. I was like, oh, cool. Game of Thrones is going to do their prequel. Looks like they've got a good cast. 4 days later. Sorry. Moving on.
But the big news that came with it was the one that was announced a week ago about the Targaryen household got ordered for a full first season. Actually got 10 episodes ordered because the other one hadn't been ordered for anything. It is called House of the Dragon. Which, when I saw the headline and I didn't see any Game of Thrones attaching to it, I just saw House of the Dragon ordered. And I was like, is it a Bruce Lee film or
what? Chinese takeout? What's going on? Is it Mortal Kombat?
But yeah, House of the Dragon takes place about, what, 300 years prior?
Yep.
No cast is known. We got one picture of there will be blood or something, or there will be fire. It says on
based on a book that George R. R. Martin released in 2018, which means he's still writing things in that universe. He just refuses to finish the goddamn series.
Well, he did say that he will not work on the script for this show until he is done with the book that we've been waiting for forever.
Oh. Well, so they're lying. The show is never going
to
happen.
Because they're planning on the release of this show to be 2021.
They're just going
to
have other writers do it, like they had to do with Benioff and Weiss. So,
which basically means that first season is going to be irrelevant because JRR is going to come in and be like, all right, this is what's really going to happen. So everybody was dreaming that first season. Now we're going to get into the live action.
Well, it's based on a book, Fire and Blood, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on it. So there's two concepts with how Fire and Blood went, how the show could go. Fire and Blood follows through the Targaryen household through up to about 150 years prior to Game of Thrones. So you keep moving through different heads of the house and people and stuff. So they said that if they did it that way, essentially every like few episodes you would be changing up who the people are that are running stuff. Would you like to see that type of thing or stick to just one and really stretch it out and extend it out?
If they're going to do that, it needs to like be a season, and that's what they need. If they're going to get between 8 to 10 episodes, and I know there was a 10 episode order for season one, which you need 10 episodes minimum to get that show started. But if they're going to do like, you know, they did with GOT and have different episodes that got down, if you're going to do that, this is easily the amount of timeline they're going to cover, the amount of story that's there with the Targaryens, all, you know, from everything. If this is going to lead into, you know, Robert's War, there's no reason why the content isn't there to at least get a season per cast and then switch up.
Exactly. Yeah. Do it anthology style. Do it like American Horror Story where season it's a different thing. Like, so, you know, you can do Aegon the Conqueror, and then, you know, the next season would be the Targaryen Civil War, or, you know, you could definitely do that and change it up from
guys. The problem you're having with this conversation is you're talking about a group of people who thought that they could finish off one of the most iconic series in 6 episodes. Yes. So there's your problem. First of all, there's your problem. Then I am not looking forward to it. I'm sorry to say this, but they screwed that vision that could be with the last 3 seasons. I mean, the only way you can make that thing happen is about 10 minutes into the first episode, Doc Brown comes out as DeLorean and says, hey, I'm here to save you. That's about it, guys. That's it.
I was listening to the morning show radio station that I listened to, and they were talking about this, and they brought up a good point, and I wanted to bring it to you guys. It made me laugh, but they talked about how this takes place 300 years beforehand, and everything that they're wearing, it's medieval and stuff like that, but if it's 300 years before that, what the hell is everybody going to be wearing? Is it going to be all loincloths?
dirty potato sacks.
Big-ass fig leaves. Big-ass fig leaves.
Or is it just going to be the same medieval gear and it's going to be like...
Actually, they're going to be wearing the J. Crew Summer Collection.
They're gonna pull a Battlestar Galactica and be like, oh, it's actually Earth. All right, let's go.
So would you prefer the series? I mean, I agree with you on the take it a whole season if you're gonna do it that way, but would you prefer them just to get main characters and have them be the whole focus for the whole series, or to actually do this change up every season to go a little bit further in the future where it's a new...
If they do something like that, and they could totally get away with it, I hate to say it, they need to take some time and spend some time with the History Channel. Because the way you're going to have to do it is you're almost going to have to run it like a docu-series to where they could talk about this whole, like you said, the war of this, the war of that stuff, and do a whole season of it, and then switch and do another season and explain what's going on there. Because if they're planning, like what you're saying, if they're planning on doing it where every episode's a different time period, then they're screwed.
Well, it'll be every episode.
Every 2 to 3 episodes, they're going to change cast. Not necessarily a different time period. It's just going to be focused on a different cast and different Targaryen, essentially. You can have Aegon, you know, and then all of a sudden, eight episodes later, we're talking about the Mad King. You know, it could be whatever. They're not saying it's going to be every episode. It's going to be like every 2 to 3 episodes. So basically a mini series.
They're just saying basically season. If they followed the book format, that's how it would have to be. But of course, I'm assuming the same way that you are, that if they were going to go that type of format, it would be a season that they would upgrade each season.
So can I ask you a question? Why did you like Game of Thrones? Most people will sit there and say it's because of the interesting characters and that you
boobs and dragons.
Huh? I mean, boobs and dragons are another thing.
I see
said
it for me. I mean, you know.
But I mean, if you think about it, one of the things we always talked about with the seasons and stuff is that there were which character is going to do this, what's going to do that. You know, specific people. When you're talking about every 3 episodes and shuffling up and changing it up, I don't see.
Well, they're not going to do that. We know they're not going to do that.
If you're rotating it that much, I know that a lot of people. Here's the thing: a lot of
we don't even know if they're
going
to rotate at all. That was just how the book went. So that was based off of. I don't think they're going to rotate.
And it's rotation. No, I know. But if they're talking about the cast changing the way it is, there's a lot of people who may lose interest and not want to stick through it because of how much it flip flops.
It would be that's the thing about it. It would be a new twist on it. Wouldn't just be like, hey, let's just rehash the same thing we did before, you know.
I want continuity. That's give me continuity and I'll stick around.
Okay,
give me continuity, but give me don't go away from your original stuff. Like some of the complaints they had is they were talking about setting up things that we're going to see in the future and then it never came to fruition. Don't F with your problem. Don't
well,
mess
that goes
with
back to George R.R. saying that the series needed another 4 to 5 seasons to really fully wrap up the entire thing, which wasn't going to happen because Benioff and Weiss were going to go do Star Wars, but now they're out of it. So it was pointless for them to rush to go do Star Wars. I'm done.
Well, since Masonic said that they need to watch the History Channel, now I just want a cameo by the Ancient Aliens guy. That's all.
Yes.
Dragons. Yes.
Oh, okay. Mad King.
All right. Moving on to the next story. I don't know who got fully through this, but there was a lot of really interesting things about this. So Hollywood Reporter did this. They brought all the top executives from, let me bring this up, from the big studios.
Universal, Paramount, Warner Brothers, Amazon, Netflix, and Disney.
It was the first time that this has happened to have a summit of them talking about basically the current climate in cinema the cinema world, how things are run, how things are done. So they had Toby Emmerich from Warner Brothers, Jim Giannopoulos from Paramount, Alan Horn from Disney, Donna Langley from Universal, Tom Rothman from Sony, Jennifer Salke from Amazon, and Scott Stuber from Netflix. Which the funny thing is most of these people either did the other person's jobs in history's past or worked together to get each other promoted. And so it was just interesting.
That yeah, apparently this. It's a very tight little incestuous club.
Yeah. Was there any points that stood out to you guys on the comments that were made in the interview?
One that got me was the necessity of showing how much money is made off of a movie. Like, their box office weekend results and stuff. Like one of them was all for it. The rest of them were like, pretty much, we don't like that. And I don't know. I think it's kind of funny that, you know, I think it's funny that they show how much money they make. It kind of free that they make $150 million one weekend and they're bitching and complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time, I understand why, because then they think that, like, say, for example, if you make a movie that's supposed to be a high production and it only comes out with 40 million or something, it's a complete flop. Like, they talk about how Justice League could have been a flop, but it actually outdid its projections. So I see it from both sides, but who gives a crap?
Here's my problem with, like, when they do large things like this. It's great getting all these people in the same room and getting content from them and opinions and thoughts. And obviously some of you are going to – they've known each other forever. I mean, reading this, it's like an episode of Entourage. Everyone's connected. Everyone's doing everything. But what – it's just frustrating because, like, you read this article trying to see, you know, what's really going on in the industry, and the whole time it's them trying to play nice. You know that's what they're doing for the article. It's all BS because they're all joking around each other. Well, you all know they're all sitting there looking at Disney thinking, you guys have screwed us all over.
Which they're talking about how
they can only do for so long. We're all just basically waiting for you guys to run out of content, and it's like, they're not going to. It's Disney.
They're never going to.
It's ridiculous.
I'm surprised we're not talking about some hit that was happened there or something, because, I mean, that would be their chance to take out Disney executives and do their thing, you know?
It'd be like the episode from or that moment, that scene in game Sherlock Holmes, the Game of Shadows, when shoot it, but blow the whole building up at the beginning.
No, what? Actually, that scene in Dogma when they're up at the CAF boardroom.
So I have some of the main points that I saw from this that I really thought were reactions. So what you said about throwing others under the bus, there was a little bit of that happening where they're playing nice, but there was definitely a little. The first one, the way that happened was when they brought up about saturating the market with films, and there's a finite amount of leisure time. So when the number of films available increases very dramatically, and they literally start calling out people, Scott, Jen, Alan.
Netflix, yeah.
So they call out Netflix, Amazon
Prime, and Disney.
Because that's why we open up the show with what you're geeking out on, if there's things that you should stay away from, because there is a limited amount of time. And I love how the actual big studios that don't have a streaming service as of yet, which they bring up that, hey, they've got... their people in charge working on streaming services for them, call out the streaming services with, like, hey, you're throwing out too much content. You're watering it down.
Kind of a combination of talking about that and what Masonic was talking about before with box office results. It kind of blew my mind that Scott Stuber from Netflix was like, look, if we spent $60 million making a movie for Netflix, we need to get at least 30 million people to watch. Mm-hmm. I was like, Jesus, that is 30 million people going to see a movie in the theater would break box office records by a lot.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But how they measure hits on a streaming service differs from a box office. Yeah. So what did they bring up? What was it? The Irishman? Is that what they brought up?
Yeah.
Yep. So, it comes out next week.
They talked about that the Irishman had gotten passed up by a lot of studios.
All of them.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you passed on it. And he's like, yeah. But they let it be known. We couldn't make this for what it would have cost.
Not only that, but that's where we started the first part of the conversation. It's talking about them playing nice. It's like, oh, yeah, no, it's, you know, we just couldn't do it. We're not mad. They couldn't. They're the ones putting it out there. You know, the sad part would have been if nobody would have put it out there. BS. You know, this movie is going to be an amazing movie. There's a reason why this movie is having a movie theater release before Netflix.
But they brought up the honest part about it. They couldn't make it because of what it would have cost in terms of movie distribution for an actual theater, right? That Netflix has a lot better, easier cost way to do it.
And I guarantee you this. This movie is going to be so big that this movie is going to end up getting a longer theater run post Netflix. By the end of the year, this will be in.
Isn't
much
it more like years. 3.5 hours long?
It's a Scorsese movie,
and
though.
That's like, why? Because the 3 hour long, I mean, nobody wants.
That's like saying
that.
I'm gonna go watch Lord of the Rings and expect it to be an hour and a half. You're an idiot if you think that. I'm gonna go watch The Joker with my 6 year old child. You're an idiot if you do that.
The only reason it gets a movie run now what Netflix does is because they want it to be nominated for Oscars. So once it gets the
allotted time, what season are we about to enter?
The Oscar season. Yeah. No,
winter.
But they're not going to stretch it further. They still want people to come back and watch it on Netflix. They're they put it out for the minimum amount of time so that it can be actually nominated for an Oscar.
Agreed. But and then that's the thing. Obviously, they want the streamers. They like IC mentioned earlier, they need 30 million viewers to watch it, which is an odd number because so many shared accounts out there, you never really. I mean, is that actual like users or is that just times it's streamed?
Maybe it's playthroughs. I don't know.
Yeah, which they don't announce that because that would be interesting. But I mean, what it comes down to, I mean, it's this movie. There's people that I know that are. This is a movie that I have no problem going to watch in the theaters because I think what this movie is going to be, how big it is, it's absolutely something I want to see on a big screen. It's a Marty film. It's something that's going to be big, but it's I know people that are like, oh, it's going to be on Netflix eventually, so I'll just wait. And that's kind of where it gets debunked there. And obviously, it's going to be on Netflix forever.
And that's what Amazon brings up is like their factor of focusing on Prime, that hey, let's just get the people to Prime to come watch this stuff. And I get what you're saying.
I find it kind of fun to watch the to read that and then look at these battles. But then it gets me is that you got the streaming services trying to challenge, sit there and say, hey, we can produce stuff and challenge you to great content and everything. Okay, that's what they're trying to do. However, I think what I see is the major difference is that when you have a Hollywood team, movie theater, some company making a movie, you have one crack that make a crap load of money, okay? Versus Netflix, Amazon Prime, all the Hulu, these guys have monthly subscription paychecks coming in all the time. All these streaming services are trying to do is they're trying to make their own content so they don't have to pay the big movie companies the money to stream their movies. But at the same time, the big movie companies have one crack to make this movie happen. And if not, it becomes a flop and they don't make money. And there you go. So it's kind of it's weird when you read this and when you have this summit going because there's two different concepts where, to me, I think Hollywood is still separate from these streaming services, and the streaming services are doing fine, bringing out stuff like Hulu's got Jack Ryan. It just came out. I'm excited to look at that.
Amazon.
Yeah, I get to watch it whenever the hell I want.
It's kind of been out for a couple of seasons now.
But
you made a good point right there regarding, at the studios have this one shot, and they talk about in the beginning part of this article about how 20 years ago, a good movie is a great movie. Whereas now, a good movie equates to a flop. Mm-hmm. And this is one point that really stood out to me is the fact they know a good movie don't mean crap to the movie, to the franchise, the industry anymore. Mm-hmm. So what I see when I see them all notating that and reflecting on it is the fact that if they all know this, that means that they know they have to put out quality product, better product to achieve a great movie because good movie means a flop now. And they know that, and that's where I think that with more of these sites becoming more and more prominent, that we hopefully can see better quality movies coming from these big studios. Because we've been talking about for years that nothing is new anymore. Everything is a remake, a reboot, a reseries, or a retelling of an original story. Nothing is original anymore. The movies that are big are not original series or movies. And I think hopefully by this article and what they've said, and they know that changes the way things are made.
Well, and Red joins us in the chat room. Hello, Red Meepaw. She brings up about the, Spielberg doesn't like the way Netflix is doing their stuff to be nominated for films, but that's things changing. It's the way it's going to be. So, going on the nerd front type of stuff, they did bring up the whole Spider-Man fiasco. And I like the response about it was what got the plan to be fixed, what got them to reunite, and so the fan base, which is important to all of us.
Win.
So they seem to respond really well to what Tom and the folks had done before with our people, and they liked the fact that Marvel and Kevin Feige were involved. So we heard the feedback out there, and that suggested that joining forces once again was probably a really good idea. You think?
Such a bullshit answer. Exactly. Sorry, I'm throwing it out there. That's a bull. Because here's the thing, and this is where I call bullshit on. I'm going to say it multiple times. Because of the fact that the minute they announced that there was issues, What was the first thing that happened? The freaking internet, Twitter, everything blew up. The fans were like, freaking A, stop this bullshit and save it. And then they still went further and said, oh, no, we're not going to do anything now, and then cut it off. So F you guys for pulling that shit out.
Well, I like the way that they, because they asked, are you guys going to continue? And they're like, oh, we're going to keep working on it together and everything. They're like, we would have gotten it done before. It just, the news got out ahead of us.
there's two statements to that part of the conversation. One of them being, well, this is going to be a stepping stone and a change in the way that negotiations and contributions between the studios is made. Whatever. That's bullshit. Just whatever. But the biggest one was the, this is a win, win, win. Win for Disney, win for Sony, win for the fans. No, this is a win for you guys because you're giving the fans what they want. If it wasn't for the fans, this wouldn't be happening. You guys would be on a major bust right now because you guys would be trying to backtrack, trying to find where that money is going to come from because that's a billion-dollar franchise.
All right, let me bring up when you heard all the other executives start getting pissed at Disney.
Because I went, you mean at the beginning?
No, Alan. I remember when American they asked
pissed at Disney from the minute. Yeah.
No, this one they really started because they asked him about. They remember when American Idol was number one, mm-hmm. and that you know it was mentioned that someday it will not be cool to watch American Idol. Do you think about when that day comes for the Marvel movies? Which Horn responded, who runs Disney. The answer is no. If the film has a compelling storyline, if it has a heart and humor, two things that I insist on. It's terrific. Well executed. I think there's an audience, but who knows? Then the response was 23 hits in a row is an unprecedented streak. And Horn says it's long. Kevin Feige is working away. He'll be making 3 or 4 a year, and they are very different from another, so we'll see. Then you get the responses. We started to notice with Avengers it was running out of steam.
And I thought they were just giving me crap.
And then they all started laughing, and then they said, where was it at? Especially the second one was the response. And then Stuber brought up what people don't give comic books credit for is for a giant group of us, they are literature. They are like To Kill a Mockingbird. To which response was, they are not To Kill a Mockingbird. I am sorry. As a former English teacher, I promised I wouldn't say anything, but I have to say something now.
How do you go from teaching English to being a studio head?
Right. Thank you. Crazy. Thank you.
And then Stuber responded from Netflix that Kevin, who I've known for a long time, takes them deeply seriously and understands the fan base and the nuance of those characters. And that's the thing. It's Kevin Feige. As long as Kevin Feige's there, yeah. Those are going to, you know. But absolutely. I love that they, like, there was major instances in this entire interview where they attacked Disney a little bit. Like, they ribbed Disney where it was just like.
They literally started talking about the animated movie. You're going to run an animated movies.
It's and like they said, thank God for small miracles.
They're like, are you going to keep, like, what are we going to get, a Rescues Down Under? You know what? If they give me a live action Rescuers Down Under, I'm on board. I love the Rescuers Down Under series. I love that movie. But it's ridiculous. Like, yes, they could make an Aristocats movie next week, and I will be there to watch it. Lady and the Tramp comes out in 2 weeks. Guess what I'll be watching? Lady and the Tramp. Not even a hype.
I'm sorry. Lady and the Tramp comes out the same exact time as Mandalorian and Jeff Goldblum goes over the world. Lady and the Tramp will be the third thing I'm watching because I'm watching those other two.
Okay, fair enough.
Wasn't there like a spinoff on that too where they were just like, they're getting to a point where movies are like, if there's a character that's from it, they could do like I can't think of what they were talking about, just to kind of give you an idea though, kind of like how they did for Star Wars. Like, there's Star Wars. Well, Han Solo is a character, so we made a Han Solo movie, and they were using Disney movies.
Well, that's what they brought up. When you have an IP, it's easy to do that. That's what Netflix and Amazon kept attacking, was like, we have no IPs. We have to be original on this stuff.
And,
so,
and that's, you know, and this, that whole part of it, because To Kill a Mockingbird, my favorite movie. It's one of my favorite books, and Gregory Peck in that movie is absolutely fanatic. It's that's one of the few books out there that is almost word for word, scene for scene of the entire book. So as far as like movie to literature to movie, that there's nothing I've never found or come across anything that's more accurate to the resource than To Kill a Mockingbird. But as far as the statement goes, it is To Kill. We've had this discussion in the past. Comic books there's a wide variety of what the stories are. They change so often that anything can be done, anything can be written. There's so many storylines that they can make so many different movies out of this. The fact they're bringing literature and word and on a paper to the screen they are in fact just like To Kill a Mockingbird. And whether this was just a shot in the dark because they're, you know, bitter, because obviously 15 years of movies, they can't hold true to, they can't do nothing with it. That's what it comes down to. It's them trying to play nice and trying to be coy with their remarks, and it's not holding true.
Yeah. Last thing I wanted to talk about was they were asked of what their favorite biggest hits that they were involved in. I want to get your guys' thoughts on what they said about that. Giannopoulos said commercially Deadpool and creatively Slumdog Millionaire. The biggest one was Rothman bringing up Master and Commander, which I was hoping that our producer would be producing tonight because he loves that film, and then he wasn't here. So, but I thought that was really interesting that that's the film that he was most proud of, and basically because it took him 14 years to get it made, he had to become a studio head to get it made. Yeah.
That movie came out, I was like I was 15 years old when that movie came out, and I was forced to go watch it with a girlfriend and her family. And it was a freaking bore fest. Of course, dude, I got her to great movie. I got her to go watch Lord of the Rings after that movie. So it was one of those. I'm gonna pay my dues now because it's gonna benefit me later.
I will agree. In the theater, I saw it. I was very bored, but watching it when I'm at home in the right mood and I put it on, I'd still like the movie. I like.
And here's my thing. Maybe because of that one incident, just put a bad taste in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I just can't do it. And it's like, you know, the fact that it's Russell Crowe, I'm like, I can do this. It's Crowe. It's post Gladiator. Like, this is like, there's a reason he's in this movie.
Paul Bettany.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, see, I didn't even know Paul Bettany was in the movie. Mm-hmm. That's how much I didn't pay attention to it. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna put Friends on again.
It's on. Well, they asked the regrets. That's what I really wanted to get to. So regrets, Giannopoulos, that 300 that Warner Brothers made. He said we had a narrow window to make it, and that was like a story my grandmother used to tell me as a little kid. And then he said, I was so close to it that I thought that I should do it for real. And I saw this comic book, and I thought, oh, come on, you can't do it like that. I thought Ridley Scott should do it like Gladiator. Imagine if 300 was made like Gladiator. It wouldn't have been what it was. It wouldn't.
No.
The stylization was the whole draw of that film.
It was unique.
That's what drew it.
It was a very unique way of doing it.
And I think if it would have bombed if it would have been like just a true period piece type of. It wouldn't have.
Because he goes on to say, like, what, swords and sandals, really?
Well, that's what Horn brings up. Horns was like, wait, so are there sandals, are there arrows, are there shields? He's like, we can't do that. We just made, what was the Troy 20 minutes
Troy.
Ago
so, Troy, yeah.
And Troy bombed, so
yeah,
well, Troy wasn't very good.
I like Troy, man. But again, we're talking like 04, so I was like 17 years old, and it, you know, I don't know.
Well, you know what? It goes to say, though, and they made the right call on the 300 because of the fact that if they did write it like Gladiator, it would go to do kind of like you just said with Troy. Because I do think that if you were to put 300 in that Gladiator kind of piece outfit, it would not hold up to it. Mm-hmm. I think Gladiator was more of an epic, like, holy crap, I think that was legit. Like, they went back in time and just literally just recorded everything live. And then 300 was like, hell yeah, dude, I'm buff. I'm going to the gym afterwards. And I'm kicking your effing ass. You know, that's what I liked about it.
Super, super, super cool article. It's from Hollywood Reporter. It's about just all the studio execs getting together, talking. There's a whole bunch more stuff talked about there. We're just not talking about some of the stuff they talked about on this show. But you should check it out.
I have to go with that. Huh? It is definitely a long read.
It is a long read, but it is honest, a really...
It is definitely worth it.
It is a really interesting read, and it's something that never happens, so...
Just do yourself a favor. Don't read it on the toilet, because you're going to have to ask your girlfriend to help you off of it, because your legs are going numb.
Okay, let's end
up... Those that don't have girlfriends are really screwed if you were to read it.
You're going to have to pull a Riggs.
Yeah. My cat will just have to eat my body 3 days later.
Exactly.
The bomb's gonna go off. Pull him in the toilet.
Okay, let's end out on a happy, super like that really happened note. And Bill Murray was on Amy Schumer's podcast because we're not big enough to get him over here. God, I wish we could get Bill Murray on the cast, man. If we had
just
Bill Murray,
find his phone number. He doesn't have.
You know, he did apply for what you're talking about, so maybe we have a chance.
I mean, to be honest, he's getting better content from us than Amy Schumer. Just saying.
Well, he brought up on Amy Schumer's podcast that he actually filled an application for P.F. Chang's in the Atlanta airport because when he sees them, just everybody looks happy. They just look like they're having fun. And P.F. Chang's heard about it, and they said, "You're hired." And they think that he would make a good wok chef, is what they said. So, just thoughts, reactions to Bill Murray. If you had Bill Murray as your wok chef.
I want him to be the host. I want him to be like seating people as they walk into the restaurant. That'd be awesome.
You don't want to see him in the background yelling order up.
Cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger.
Well, that's
no Coke, Pepsi.
Of course, we all love this. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's just it goes to show that he is more in touch with the everyday person. I mean, this guy's got how much money, and how many times do you see these guys that make all this money, they're actors that just don't hang around anybody anymore. They hang around their little cliques and stuff. And then there goes Bill Murray crashing freaking weddings, freaking applying to P.F. Chang's. Are you kidding me? This guy is more in touch with real life. It's incredible.
He is a legend. You know, that's there's what's the one story where somebody was at McDonald's with fries on their tray. Bill Murray walked up to him, grabbed a couple of fries and ate them, looked him in the eyes and said, "No one will ever believe you."
Yeah.
Well, it's not only that. It's like
a genius.
When you do that kind of stuff, it's just two people that always do that. And you always hear about it. And it's Bill Murray and Tom Hanks. And that's like you just like the legendary level of those who are like that down to earth to do that kind of stuff. And it doesn't matter. Bill Murray for decades has been giving us product that we all love. Doesn't matter what it is. And the man, he can tell he just loves to live life and he doesn't matter who's around him. And that's what's fantastic.
So
you know, you're legit when a movie's made after they killed you off and they couldn't let you die off. So they had to do something for you. Come on. You're legit when that happens,
man. If you're talking about a new one that just came out, I haven't watched it yet, man.
I haven't talked about anything, dude. There's been plenty of movies he's played in, right?
Not the ones that he's died in. Come on,
he's died in plenty of movies. Thank you very much.
Spoiler alert up in here.
He's died in plenty of movies. Thank you very much.
Calm down, Brian. Calm down.
Shut your hole and drink
your
beer.
Let me ask you this. We all would love to see Bill Murray working at P.F. Chang's.
Yes.
What's another celebrity you'd love to see working as and where?
Well, I would like to see Tom Hanks doing something. I mean, Tom Hanks is, you know, probably the same thing, dude. Just something with the people. Oh, throwing some beers at a baseball game. Peanuts and beers at a baseball game. There you go, Tom Hanks.
I can take that, yeah.
I want to see Jackie Chan working at a sporting goods store. I think that would be just imagine the tricks he could do in there.
Can we get Keanu Reeves at a surfboard shop?
Yeah.
Or a skateboard shop.
Maybe a motorcycle repairman. Yeah. Motorcycle mechanic. Yeah, great.
Here you go. Here's a good television show you can do. Ryan Reynolds playing a shoe salesman like Al Bundy.
I'd be good with The Rock working like at Jamba Juice. I'm like, do you want two shots of
grass? That would be awesome, honestly.
Kevin Hart is a salesman at a big and tall store.
Not only does he win Halloween, he wins fantasy jobbing.
Yeah, I want to see Steve Carell is working as a tour guide.
Oh God, that's a tour I won't take.
Oh God. Okay.
Jim Carrey is a dentist.
Who?
Jim Carrey is a dentist.
Dennis Leary. Dennis Leary being forced to drive one of the actual trucks that he does the voiceovers for.
as he meets the line with Sam Elliott in the other truck. Boom.
Jeff Goldblum is a tour guide at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Here's my money. Take it.
Yeah, exactly. That would be awesome.
So. Sam Kinison as a preacher. Wait a minute.
That's when it started out. Yes, exactly. I was trying to think of something for Nick Cage, but I just can't. I can't.
At least you said his name.
Yeah, I can't.
How about just Nick Cage just having a job?
I mean, Nick Cage on the corner with a will work for something.
We know he'll take any job as long as they give him a paycheck.
That's why it would be fantastic to see him on the corner with a sign that says "Will work for any movie."
He would probably take the job at PF Chang's because he's going to get a free meal at lunch. Just saying.
Nick Cage on the side, raising Arizona too.
Yeah, Nick Nolte sitting outside of a gas station with a sign that says "Anything helps."
I was gonna say Key and Kel in a burger place, but I think Kel actually probably would work in a burger place now. No, not Kel. Key would. Kel's still on Saturday Night Live. So.
Oh my gosh, man! And well, right now
they're both on.
Are they both on Saturday Night Live now?
No, they're both on a. They just brought back the show on Nickelodeon. All that they're both.
Yeah, they were
on
talking about doing an All That reunion. Yeah.
Keenan or Cal is an actual a regular on that. I think Keenan's had some guest spots on.
Probably,
that. He's tied into SNL.
Yeah,
probably Kel.
Hey, Cal's
back on Nickelodeon. He is.
I've got a good one for us going out on the weekends and everything. Nick Nolte and Gary Busey doing a dueling pianos thing.
Ooh, that'd be like Mozart and Beethoven. And their hair just everywhere.
I just genuinely want to see a fist fight between Nick Nolte and Gary Busey right now.
It'd be like those drunk old bum fights and
stuff. Yeah, exactly. Just imagine the threats that they would yell at each other.
I'm picturing
with Gary Busey, I will pull your endocrine system out of your body.
I'm picturing like the scene in Wedding Singer right now. Obviously not pianos, but sounds like a country song. And then just getting punched in the face for saying that comment, and boom.
I just want somebody to give me a hug and tell me everything's going to be all right.
Oh,
gosh.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, we were going to go out on a light note.
No, we can keep going, right?
Well, we can absolutely keep going. But
Before we go on a light note,
Red's...
Go ahead.
I was about to say, let's throw in Red put in there Tom Hanks for president. I say put Harrison Ford as vice president.
I'm pretty sure you put Hanks as president. It's a unanimous decision for the first time in history. Now, before we go, it's got to give a shout out. We did lose a comedic legend this week. I mean, John Witherspoon. We did lose John Witherspoon at the age of 77. Pops. I don't know about you guys, but the man was in some of my favorite things, just Friday series, the Wayne's Brothers. I mean, it's just the man. The comedy shows I used to watch him at the Ontario Improv. He is fantastic, and it's a man that will be surely missed. Everything he was in was just hilarious as the role he was in. Just had to give that before we walked away with an unsad moment.
I brought up that fact, but hey, we could have seen him. This would have made your day. If he was the attendant in a bathroom, that was he just spraying every time you guys
walk out. He did that. No, he didn't. Wasn't he was in Soul Plane? He was blind, but he wasn't the bathroom attendant.
No,
he was.
But I'm saying in real life, once again, if you saw a celebrity, John Witherspoon as the attendant in your bathroom as you walked out.
Yes. Come here, young man. Just take the spray real quick.
I can't confirm it, but man, I think he would be the type of guy where, when you go to his viewing, he's probably going to have that mushroom suit on, dude, that epic mushroom suit. That was the best part of Friday to me, was seeing that epic mushroom suit. That was awesome.
Barbecue's so good, it makes you want to slap your mama.
Oh, rest in peace, sir. Let's talk about where we can follow everybody outside of this cast. Thank you guys for joining us. We have two episodes left of this year, and then we will be taking a hiatus and a break. So, first and foremost, let's talk about Super, since she had to check out. Super Whovian Freak, you can follow her on Twitter at Super Whovian Nut, or on Instagram at Super Whovian Freak. She's a fun follow. She loves talking Supernatural and talking about all other types of nerd and geek stuff. Icy Zorro, where can people follow you outside of the show?
At Icy Zorro on Twitter, Instagram, and PlayStation Network.
What about you, Masonic Vader?
Masonic Vader on Twitter and Masonic Vader 71 on PlayStation. I think it's that way, right?
Yeah.
Or is it back? Yeah, Instagram, all right, cool. PlayStation, there you go, guys. Enjoy.
Yeah. A bearded master, Marty, where can we follow you?
The name is in it, say, a bearded master, Instagram, Twitter, all the time.
Nice. You can follow this cast on Twitter at All Nerd Podcast. You can also follow Marty on his other podcast, Antics of Wrestling, for Boot to the Face. So go check them out over there. Follow everything that is done with this network at Malice Corp on Twitter, or check us out on our website at malice-corp.com. If you want to follow me, you can check me out on Instagram at @mest_malicecorp, or on, I'm sorry, that's on Twitter at @mest_malicecorp, or on Instagram at @mest5150, or come see my further adventures on Geek Guidepost on YouTube. With that, I bid you adieu, say keep nerding on, and we'll see you next Friday.